This is Old Time Radio Drama. Good evening, I'm Norman Gilliland. And tonight we will ride west with Paladin in Have Gun, Will Travel from 1959. We'll find out a little bit more about Ellie, or Mary, depending upon which name you want to go by, the reform school refugee taken in by Lum and Abner, in a couple of episodes from 1943. Tonight, Paul Frees and Ben Wright star in Two Came Back, an episode of Escape from 1950. We'll have the Scarlet Queen with adventure in the Orient. Inner Sanctum tonight also, and Quiet Please. We'll start in the simplest, most domestic and quiet way with a bed-making lesson. And that will proceed to something almost as quiet as Paladin reflects upon his youth in Illinois and becomes lost in a story called Roped, Have Gun, Will Travel, starring John Daner from June 7th, 1959.
You can stay in this cabin and fight it out, or face the men who are waiting to lynch you. Either way, it's a poor choice.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Oh, good morning, Miss Wong.
Oh, Mr. Chang. Good morning.
Yes. Oh, please, Miss Wong, at the Carlton Hotel, you speak to me as, hey, boy. Everyone does.
Oh, yes. I forget. Good morning, hey, boy.
Good morning. Oh, you did not meet Mr. Paladin before he left.
No. The lady in charge was showing me what the new duties would be each morning. He left very early.
Oh, yes. But in a few days, he'll return. Then I introduce you to my very good friend.
Oh, that would be very great pleasure.
Oh, yes. No.
Something is wrong?
Oh, when you make Mr. Paladin's bed, you make it West Point style.
West Point? I don't know what you mean, West Point.
Oh, I assure you. Oh, hey, Mr. Paladin, very particular about bed made Army way.
Mr. Paladin in the Army?
Oh, no. But he was several years ago.
Oh, yes.
He say it is only proper way to make bed.
Ah, so.
You do not tuck your blanket on the corner like this. Oh, no.
No.
You watch careful now.
Right.
First, you fold on the bottom side like this.
Yes.
Then you hold up the end of blanket and tuck on the corner like this.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now, drop blanket and tuck on the whole side.
Oh. It's very smooth, that's why, Mr. Chang.
Yes, hey, boy.
Ah, yes. Hey, boy. May I please try other side?
Okay.
Mr. Paladin teaches you to make bed like this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I learned many things from Mr. Paladin.
Ah, while I work at Carlton Hotel, perhaps you teach me many things?
Oh, yeah. It would be a great pleasure.
This is Frank Knight speaking for Longines, the world's most honored watch. It's wonderful to win a Nobel Prize in Science, a Pulitzer Award in Literature, an Olympic gold medal in sports. In the field of time, did you know that Longines watches have won more great public honors for excellence, elegance, and accuracy than any other watch in the world? This is true. For close to a century, the highest authorities have ranked Longines watches as the finest achievement in the science and art of watchmaking. Yet, for a surprisingly modest cost, you may own or proudly give a Longines, the world's most honored watch, the world's most honored gift, styled with distinction, cased in precious metal, promising a lifetime of faultless timekeeping. See your authorized Longines Whitnor jeweler. He will be honored to serve you.
The job was finished. The man who had hired me in Salinas had given me an extra $100 to prove that he was pleased, and I was on my way back to San Francisco. It was good to be alone on horseback. As I rode through the verdant coastal valley, I was reminded of Illinois, as I had known it when I was younger. In my imagination, I could see myself riding along on my father's farm, everything very green and sparkling, wonderfully new. Hours became minutes. Then suddenly, I realized it was almost sundown, and I was lost. I had apparently taken the wrong turn at a fork a few miles back. My plans had been to stay overnight in Morgan Hill with an old friend, but now I'd have to bed down on the trail after I found water. While I was looking for a stream, I saw some smoke circling over the treetops a couple of hundred yards ahead. A closer look revealed a small cabin nestled in a grove of eucalyptus.
Hey, easy, boy.
Don't come no closer. This is private property.
Well, hold your fire. I'm not trespassing.
This is my land. Strangers ain't welcome. How come you're nosing around here?
I was looking for a creek. My horse needs water.
People don't look for creeks in these parts.
Everybody around here as friendly as you?
Just be on your way, mister.
Look, I've been riding all day. If you look at my horse, you can tell he needs water. You got a well, I'd be willing to pay.
How much?
You tell me, it's your water.
You willing to pay $2?
That's your price?
Let me see the money.
Here.
All right. You can have the water. Dismount and walk your horse up to that trough by the pump. I'll be right behind you with this rifle. All right, walk.
You're mighty free with that rifle.
There's been a lot of horse stealing lately.
You got a lot of horses?
A few out back. They're good ones. They're worth stealing. I don't take any chances.
I see.
A man don't just happen to wander onto my land. This ain't on the road to no place.
Well, I wouldn't be here if I hadn't got lost. I was on my way to Morgan Hill.
You're better than 10 miles from Morgan Hill.
Huh. Not much water in the trough.
There's more when it's gone.
I'm afraid I won't have any luck picking up that trail before morning. It's going to be a dark night.
Dirk?
What is it, Agnes?
Your supper's on the table.
I'll be in a minute.
What's he doing here?
Watering his horse.
Dirk, I heard the shooting. What was it?
Nothing.
Who's that man with you?
A stranger.
Is he staying for supper?
No.
I'll need more water.
Well, you just pump it yourself.
Dirk, why did you hit him?
I don't trust him.
You killed him.
He ain't dead.
He ain't moving. Why'd you do it?
I aim to find out who he is.
Don't look like he's breathing.
He's breathing. There ought to be something in this wallet telling who he is. Here. You read the printing on this card.
I see. It says, have gun, will travel, wire Paladin, San Francisco. His name is Paladin.
And that card means he's a hired gun.
You don't think...
I might have known. Come snooping around here near dark, saying he's lost.
You think the ranchers hired him?
Yeah. Probably old Fred Mosley. I got more of his horses than any others.
Don't pay, really, does it?
What do you mean?
Always running, hiding, pretending. It don't amount to a thing. We could make a better living digging clams on the beach. Horse thieving don't amount to a thing, Dirk.
Now, don't start that again. You just get us ready to move out of here by sunup.
What are you going to do with him?
I don't know. I never killed a man before. This just might be the first time.
What do you need?
You need lots of dollars during sicknesses.
You need lots of dollars for an accident. You need the kind of protection that only Mutual of Omaha sells. What do you need?
You need the health insurance that is ideal for young families because it offers you special savings. The younger you are when you start your Mutual of Omaha hospital, surgical, and income protection plan, the lower the cost.
Here's what you need.
You need young family health insurance, long-term benefits at low cost by Mutual Benefit Health and Accident Association. Call your local Mutual of Omaha agent in the Yellow Pages or write Mutual of Omaha, Omaha, Nebraska for information on plans available in your state.
The long-term, low-cost protection every young family needs is available now. Write for details on this modern, flexible protection that can be tailored to your exact needs. Write Mutual of Omaha, Omaha, Nebraska.
Somebody had exploded a stick of dynamite inside my head. I tried to reach up and stop the throbbing, but my hands wouldn't move. They were tied behind my back. I tried to move my legs, but I only felt the rope that was binding them together. Finally, when I was able to focus my eyes, I found I was lying on a bed in a corner of the cabin. In the middle of the room, there was a table with a dim lamp on it, and a woman, Agnes, was bending over a box, stuffing it with pots and pans. She must have heard me move because she looked up.
Oh. Finally woke up, huh?
Why did he hit me?
You can be thankful he didn't kill you.
Why would he want to kill me?
We're on to you, mister. Dirk thought you looked suspicious, and he was right. He found your card. We know you was hired by the ranchers to come after Dirk.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I suppose you deny your name's Paladin.
No. That's my name.
Well, don't be tricking me. You can be honest with me, because I saved your life. Dirk wanted to kill you, but I talked him out of it. You can thank me for that.
I'm grateful. I do thank you.
It ain't your skin I'm worried about. I'm just not gonna have my husband start killing.
Why would the ranchers hire me to get Dirk?
There you go again.
Now listen. I don't know who your husband is or what he's done. I was lost. The smoke from your cabin led me here. I wasn't hired by any ranchers. I don't know anybody this side of Morgan Hill. Now believe me, I'm telling you the truth.
If you are, we wouldn't have to move on.
I'm telling you the truth.
We could stay here. Dirk? Dirk?
Yeah?
Come in here.
Do you believe me?
Maybe I do.
I wasn't lying.
I'd like to believe you. Maybe because I'm tired of running. Maybe because I like this valley, this cabin. Seems like a home.
I told you to keep the door closed. What do you want?
He woke up.
Is that why you called me in here?
I was talking to him. I think you ought to hear what he's got to say.
We don't have time to prate with bounty hunters. I got the wagon hitched up. Are you done with the packing?
He says he wasn't hired by the ranchers.
He been giving you some soft talk? You always was a sucker for soft talk.
I wasn't soft-talking your wife. The ranchers didn't hire me.
If he's telling the truth, we don't have to run.
I'm not taking any chance.
Dirk!
Douse the light. Get down on the floor.
Can you see anything?
No. No, it's pitch dark out there.
Come on out, Dirk. We know it's you that's been stealing our horses. Come on out.
That's Fred Mosley.
Come and get me, Mosley.
There's the answer to your soft-talking friend, Agnes.
Listen to me.
She was beginning to believe you. I was right. You was hired by the Mosley gang.
I don't know Mosley. I didn't know you were a horse thief.
You ain't even a good liar.
Look, if you'll untie me, I'll prove to you I'm not with those men. I'll help you out of here and see to it you get a fair trial. Otherwise, they'll hang you.
Dirk, maybe what he's saying...
He's tricking us again. Don't listen to him, Agnes. He led those men here. I should have killed you in the first place. And I'd shoot you now, but I got a better plan. Mosley!
Yeah?
I got your man tied up in here.
What man?
The man you hired to come after me.
We didn't hire any man.
He says he was hired by you. His name's Paladin. I'm gonna shoot him if you don't leave me be.
It won't work. You're wasting your breath trying to fool us, Dirk. If you don't come out, we'll burn you out.
Do you believe me now, Dirk?
Maybe he was telling the truth.
It don't matter now whether I believe you or not. They're going to burn the cabin.
Paladin, what would you do if we untied you?
Help to see that your husband doesn't get lynched.
Now, how can you do that? Well, there's at least three men out there, and they're not going to settle for anything less than a lynching. No matter what you or anybody else says to them. Besides, what do you care if I hang or not?
I believe in a fair trial. Man's guilty, it should be decided in a courtroom.
Trial or no trial, I'm gonna hang.
At least you wouldn't hang tonight. You'll have a chance to hire a good lawyer.
Are you coming out, Dirk? Or do you want to stay in there and fry?
Paladin, how do you figure on getting me this fair trial you're talking about?
Give yourself up. Now, they'll take you nearby. I can follow you and surprise them before they get the rope around your neck. Agnes can go with me with a shotgun. With us undercover in the dark, the odds will be just about even.
All right. All right, maybe it'll work. But there's just one thing you didn't mention.
What's that?
Agnes will stay behind you all the way with that shotgun. And she'll shoot you if you don't do what you just now said.
Fair enough.
All right, Agnes. Untie him.
For 30 years, almost as long as network broadcasting itself, listeners have relied on Lowell Thomas' colorful coverage of the day's events. Why his continuing popularity? Several reasons. For one, Mr. Thomas insists on accuracy in the reports he broadcasts. Listeners know they can rely on his news broadcasts. Two, Mr. Thomas, because of the thousands of acquaintances his globe-circling expeditions have brought him everywhere, adds personal sidelights and high human interest to the day's news, giving it added color, dimension, and meaning. Add to this a well-honed talent for integrating many items from many places into one meaningful whole, and you have all the keys to Lowell Thomas' 30-year reign as reporter, lecturer, and CBS radio raconteur. Mr. Thomas and our great staff of CBS newsmen, reporters, correspondents, and commentators see that you're kept well-informed, kept alert to the constantly changing pattern of world events. Clear, colorful, complete. CBS News on CBS Radio.
Fred Mosley didn't believe there was another man in the cabin. I hid behind the door, but they didn't bother to come inside. They were only interested in Dirk. Agnes stood outside until they were gone, and a few minutes later we were on horseback, following the sound of Mosley and his men.
Paladin?
Yeah?
I'm scared.
For yourself or Dirk?
For Dirk.
Don't think about it.
Ain't no cause for me to hold this shotgun on you, is there?
No, no, there isn't.
I can feel it. You're different from most. You're clean. There ain't no pretending with you. I know that for sure now.
Hold up. I get down. We'll walk from here. Now follow me and be as quiet as you can.
Got no right to string me up, Mosley.
There they are.
Talk all the old
quiet now.
The man who's come on. Hang has that privilege. But you don't know for sure I'm the one who stole your horses. I didn't do it. You don't have no proof.
You're a fool. Think we didn't see our horses out back of your place with our brand on them?
All right.
I bought those horses.
Let's stop here.
A man brought him by my place.
He already got the rope tied on his neck.
Yeah.
Swing the rope over there.
And they're ready to slap the horse out from under him.
Hurry, Paladin.
Stay behind this rock. Keep the shotgun trained on Mosley, but don't shoot unless you have to.
Horse thieves don't get a trial.
I'm going to move up closer.
Stand over there by the horse, Tom. Get ready to slap him when I...
Mosley!
Who's that?
I got four men with me, armed with shotguns. We say you're not going to hang Dirk.
Come on out here where I can see you.
Not likely.
Why do you want to stop a hanging? He's a horse thief.
Clear out, Mosley, before we start shooting.
How do I know there's four of you?
Try us.
You don't leave me much choice, mister. We can't fight men we can't see. All right, Tom. You and Bill get on your horses.
Mosley, don't try anything.
We're leaving.
No, wait, Mosley, don't do it.
Oh, no!
Agnes, stay back there. Dirk. Dirk,
Paladin,
can you hear me?
You cut him down in time, didn't you? He's all right. He ain't moving, but I know he's all right. Ain't he?
He's dead.
We didn't stop him, did we? Slap that horse out from under Dirk right before our very eyes.
I'm sorry, Agnes.
You tried. That's all you could do.
You want to cry, Agnes? Go ahead. It'd help.
I don't want to cry. I knew it was going to happen one way or another. That's why I was scared. But it's all over now. I'm not scared anymore.
How would you like to help solve a mystery? This is a medical mystery, the mystery of MS, multiple sclerosis. Multiple sclerosis is a chronic crippling disease of the central nervous system. It can affect various parts of the body and usually puts its victims in wheelchairs. Those victims, thousands of them, are hit mainly in young adulthood, in the age group between 20 and 40. Nearly all of them, when they're told they have multiple sclerosis, say they've never dreamed it could happen to them. As a matter of fact, it can happen to anybody. That's one of the few things we know about MS. Much of the rest is a mystery. But you can help solve that mystery. Its solution will come through painstaking, costly medical and scientific research. The money for this research must come from the MS Hope Chest. Help fill that Hope Chest now. Give new hope to thousands of sufferers from MS by giving to your nearest chapter of the Multiple Sclerosis Society or sending your contribution to MS in care of your local postmaster. produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Frank Michael. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Gene Bates, Joseph Kearns, and Virginia Gregg. This is Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
That was Have Gun, Will Travel from June 7th, 1959, a story called Roped, starring John Daner, but featuring Ben Wright as Hayboy, and he'll be back tonight, starring in Escape. Next up, Lum and Abner, twice over, as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, I have to say at the top that I'm not sure that we'll find out exactly what does happen to Ellie or Mary, depending upon which name you prefer. She seems to have come and gone during the summer of 1943, but we'll follow her for a while as Lum and Abner continue to debate just what to do about this visitor from reform school. Two episodes from August 4th and August 5th, 1943.
My granny, Abner, I believe that's our ring.
I dog is Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, Jotham Down Store. This is Lum and Abner.
Let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, the community apparently believes that Ellie Connors, the escaped reform school girl, is Lum's niece Mary from Wisconsin. And it has also accepted her into the social life of the town. Cedric is about the only person who feels that he's too old to associate with a 12-year-old girl. As we look in a little community today, we find Lum in the Jotham Down store and library. Abner is just entering.
A coffee. Well, hey, Lum.
What is it, Abner?
I just heard some good news, I believe.
Yeah?
I had to make a deal over down there by the jail and run into Uncle Henry Lunsford down there.
Uh-huh.
And he said that they'd just about give up the search for Ellie.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Henry told me that last night. They ain't giving it up altogether, of course, but leastways they figure she's got pretty far away from here by now.
Well, I don't. That's good news anyway, ain't it?
Yeah, but you know, the curious thing about this, Abner, now that Mary's practical safe from getting caught, I'm starting to worry about it.
Worry about it?
I mean, I've got to where I believe we ought to report this whole thing to the state reformatory.
Huh?
Well, it just seems like that's the thing to do. Go right direct to them and tell them Ellie's here and that she's been here and we've been hiding her and everything.
Well, law me, Lum, that's the one Zach thing we've been trying to keep anybody from doing.
I know it is. I know it. But now that we've made a success out of it, I can sort of look back on it and see that maybe we ain't done the right thing, maybe.
Well, now, Lum, you know good and well we tried our best to send her back to that reformatory, and we just couldn't bring ourselves to do it when she first got here. And now it'd be harder than ever to do it. Doggy, you know, she just seems like my own daughter, might not, Lum.
Yeah, I know it. I've been calling her my niece so much now that I'm getting to where I actually believe she is.
Oh, no, no. We'll never in the world be able to do it, I can tell you that.
Yeah, but Abner, I'm afraid things can't go on this way. Someday, this has got to be squared up with the law, and you know that as well as I do.
Well, yeah, I reckon so.
Must have been some good reason why Ellie was put in a reformatory in the first place.
Yeah, it might have been a mistake too, Lom.
Well, they don't generally make mistakes.
Now, Lom, you know Ellie could never have did nothing wrong. I just don't believe she could.
I feel the same way, but she must have.
Never.
I've tried to ask her about it, but she don't appear to want to talk about it much.
Oh, no, she don't, no.
And it makes her feel so bad, I ain't got the heart to go on asking her.
No, but I know one thing, Lom. We ain't never going to be able to send her back there, I can tell you that.
Well, I weren't aiming on doing that. Here's what I figured, Abner. I figured I'd go to the reformatory myself.
You?
Yeah.
Well, Lom, you ain't did nothing wrong. And besides, you're too old, Lom. They wouldn't take you in there.
I know.
Not
that.
A thing. That's a girl's reformatory, Lom.
Abner, I'm just going there for Ellie's sake.
Well, I get the idea. Sure, you're going there in place of Ellie. But it'll never work. Of course, you might dress yourself up to where you'd look like a woman, Lom, but never no 12-year-old girl, I can tell you that right now.
Abner, all I'm aiming to do is to tell them about Ellie and get all the information about her I can.
Well, you can get information just as well in your own clothes. You don't have to wear no woman's dress, Lom.
I ain't going to wear no woman's dress.
Oh, well, I'm proud to hear that. Don't you can get some of the curious ideas that sometimes, Lom, anybody I ever seen. Someday, you're going to get yourself thrown in the inner same solemns, too, with ideas like that.
Well, if I did, it'd be a relief from what I have to put up with around here, I'll tell you that.
That dress idea just weren't no good at all, Lom. And I ain't so sure what this other idea, telling the reformatory everything, is much better, neither.
Well, it might be a mistake, all right. Might even get us in trouble, but I'm going to do it anyways. Fact is, I'm going tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes, sir. The sooner the quicker, I ought to say. And here's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to tell how Ellie's such a good worker and a good girl and all, and we're giving her a new chance at life and stuff like that. Maybe they'll parole her out and make me her guardian.
You reckon they'll do that, sure enough?
Well, they might. All we can do is hope.
Hey, doggy, I'm... wait a minute, though. How about letting me be the guardian? I've had more experience of being a papa than you've ever had, Lom.
No, I'd be better for that.
No, sir. You wouldn't know such a thing. I'll tell you what. Let's just flip a coin for
it. No, Abner. No, I'm a natural-born guardian. I look more like one you do.
Well, let's just flip a coin. That's a fair way to do it now, ain't it? I admit to it, Lom. That's the only fair way.
All right, but I still...
All right, here's a nickel. And I'll even let you flip it. Go on, throw it on the table there so we can both see it. And heads, you can be the guardian, and tails, I get to be it.
All right, well, turn loose the nickel.
All right. Excuse me. Uh-oh. Look out, watch it. It's rolling off the other side of the table there, Lom. Watch it there. Look there, it went right off there.
Yeah.
Oh, where'd that thing go? Let's see now. Went right over this end.
Howdy.
Where'd it land, Lom? In the chair here?
I think so, but don't pay no attention to it now. Howdy, Grandpa.
Lom, I want to know where the thing went.
Hey, Shep, Abner.
What's the matter? Ain't you speaking to me today, Abner?
Huh? Oh, well, howdy, Grandpa. How are you?
Oh, just only tolerably. Sort of wore out. Been sloshing around sort of like water in a barrel.
Yeah.
Need some light for a few minutes. Sit down here.
Wait a minute, Grandpap. Don't sit in that chair there.
Oh, it's all right. It's comfort enough. I can't stay long no way.
Yeah, but wait a minute. There's something in it.
Oh,
now.
That's all right. It don't bother me none. I'm so tired I could sit on a pincushion and enjoy it.
Well, stand up just a minute, Grandpa.
Abner, don't bother him.
Huh?
Can't let him know what we're talking about.
Oh.
Hey, what you fellas whispering about?
Oh, nothing, Grandpap. Nothing at all.
Oh. Guess who I seen on the street today, Abner?
I ain't got the least idea. Grandpap, wouldn't you rather sit over here in this rocker here?
No, thank you, Abner. This is fine here. Much obliged, though. It's mighty thoughty of you to look after my comfort. Guess who I seen today?
I don't know.
Grandpap, don't you have to go somewhere over to Dick Huddleston's store or something?
Yeah, and see about delivering telegrams or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I reckon I ought to, but I ain't so busy that I can't sit for a minute and pass the time of the day with my friends. No, sir. No, sirree, sir. I always said that. Not me. I ain't like that. No, I've always got time for my friends, always.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir, I seen Ned Danbury on the street today. Said to say hello to you.
Ned Danbury?
Yeah, that's who I seen.
I don't believe we know him.
Oh, sure you do, Abner. Second cousin to Egbert Conway.
Who?
Egbert Conway, you recollect him.
Egbert Conway.
Used to live in Potter, and in Hatfield, and in Odin. Just a drifter was all he was,
I don't recollect him.
He was on the move.
Huh?
You recollect that feller there, that Conway feller?
No, that name ain't even familiar to me. How soon did you have to be running along, Grandpap?
Just a drifter was all he was. Finally settled in Hot Springs. Got himself a little shop there. Sells souvenirs.
Well?
Finds fancy stones and polishes them up and prints Hot Springs, Arkansas on them and sells them to tourists.
Huh.
Makes a hand-to-foot living out of it, sort of.
Uh-huh.
The interesting thing about Egbert is that he ain't set a razor to his face since he was 21 year old.
Huh.
His 21st birthday.
Huh.
Remind me to tell you fellas about that sometime.
Yeah, we will. Maybe you can tell us tomorrow, as long as you have to leave now.
Yep, it's a good idea. That's an interesting story. Interesting. Interesting.
Oh, my God.
No, sir, not since his 21st birthday has Egbert Conway set a razor to his face.
Yeah, you not told more. Us that, Grandpap. Well, me and Mom got to get to work here now.
And it was all on account of the Indians, too.
Huh? Indians?
Yep, the Indians. Abner, have you ever saw an Indian with a beard? Or one with a mustache, even?
Come to think of it, I don't believe I ever have. Of course, I don't see many Indians no more, neither.
Hey, you never see them with whiskers, I'll tell you that. Some of the women Indians might have them, but never none of the men folks.
Yeah, well, that's right interesting, Grandpap. But we'll see you tomorrow, then.
Yep, all right. No, sir, every Indian is smooth-faced.
Oh, my.
And I'll tell you why. Because they got some kind of a rock that they rub on their faces. That keeps the whiskers off.
Rub rocks on their faces?
It does.
Sassy Fred.
It does. Now, it does that.
Well, come to think about it, I've heard tell of that myself, I think.
Huh?
Never knowed where it was true or not, though.
Huh.
Well, it's the truth. And Egbert heard about that. So when his 21st birthday come along, his papa bought him a razor. But Egbert taking the razor, swapped it for a pair of fancy sleeve garters, and then he got a batch of rocks and started rubbing them on his face.
My doggy's Grandpa.
He done
it. Can't get me to believe no such a thing as that.
It's the truth, Abner. He taken them pigeon-toed rocks and rubbed them right on his flat-footed face.
Prattle.
He done it. Every day he done it. Ever since his 21st birthday. Learned it from the Indians.
Do you mean to stand there or sit there and try to tell me that them rocks kept the whiskers off of his face?
Oh, no.
Huh?
No, the rocks never seemed to faze his whiskers at all. Fact is, Egbert's got quite a good-sized beard.
Well, for the land's sake, what's he keep rubbing rocks on his face every day for then?
Why, to polish them, silly.
Huh?
That's how he polishes all them fancy rocks that he sells for souvenirs. Prints Hot Springs, Arkansas, right on them, right across the top of them. Makes a hand-to-foot living out of it, sort of.
Well, if that don't beat all.
Well, got to be running along, feller. Sorry to have to leave so soon.
Oh, that's all right. Proud to have you do it, Grandpa.
Yeah, here's a nickel in this chair I'm sitting in.
Oh,
Here you are, Lum. Is it yours?
What did it say there when you picked it up?
What did it say?
Yeah, I mean, was it heads or tails up when you picked it up there?
Oh, heads up, I believe.
Head.
Yeah, that's what it was, heads.
Dad, damn it all.
Yeah, I'll see you fellas later. So long.
Yeah, so long.
Well, I reckon that settles who's going to be Ellie's guardian.
Well, he might have been wrong, Olam. No, he might have been wrong. I believe he was, yeah.
No.
Yeah, he was.
Well, yep. Grandpap's got a good eyesight, Abner. I'll say that for him.
Yeah, but he just sort of glanced at that nickel. I don't believe he looked at it good enough to be able to tell you.
Oh, hey, fellas.
What is it now, Grandpa?
Yeah, I was wrong there.
Wrong?
Yeah,
see there, Lum?
Yeah,
What'd I tell you? Good for you,
well,
Grandpa.
Well, that don't count. He said it was heads, and that's what counts.
No, sir. He can change his mind.
No,
yes, sir.
He can't neither.
Yes, he can. It was tails, wasn't it, Grandpa?
What's that, Abner?
Was it tails or heads that was up?
Heads, I told you once.
Oh, I thought you said you was wrong.
Oh, yeah, well, I was wrong about that. That weren't Egbert Conway that rubbed rocks on his face. It was Lester Corbin.
Granny's Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Aye, Doggy's Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, jot 'em down, store. This is Lum and Abner.
see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, the search for Ellie Connors has virtually been abandoned in the Pine Ridge area, so the 12-year-old girl, now named Mary and posing as Lum's niece, is quite safe. However, Lum feels that things cannot go on this way, and so he's decided to go to the reformatory, explain everything, and attempt to get the girl paroled. As we look in on the little community today, we find Abner, in the Jot 'em Down store and library, helping Lum prepare for the trip.
Well, I reckon I got about everything packed that I'm going to need on the trip.
Yeah, or two. You got some oranges, Lum?
Oh, yeah. Got a few of them tucked away in the hand satchel.
Oh, they're awful handy. Reckon how long you be going, Lum?
Oh, 3-4 days. Oughtn't to be gone more than a week, I know that.
Is that Cedric driving you into the depot to county seat?
No, I'm going to have to catch a ride in on a mail hack, I reckon.
The mail hack?
Cedric can't make it.
Well, I do know. That's a shame.
Yes. Well, I ain't taking no more stuff along than I have to. Don't want to lug a heavy suitcase around with me.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. And looks like you got plenty there. Mom, I've just been thinking about this. Now, before you leave, are you sure that you're doing the right thing in doing this?
Well, I've studied about it quite considerable, and I believe I am.
Well, I don't know, Lum. Quick as you start telling them about us hiding Ellie, why, they're liable to throw you right in a penitentiary. Then rush out here and get Ellie and put her right back in the reformatories. Might put me in the reformatories, too. There ain't no telling.
No, I don't think they'll do that.
They might, Lum.
For one thing, I'm a justice of the peace, you know. That ought to help me a whole lot.
Well, either help you or get you thrown out of the job, one, I know that.
Well, being a justice will make it appear like this is sort of official business I'm doing.
It will, huh?
Oh, yeah. And then I'm going to put up a good strong argument to get Ellie out of there.
Huh.
And I believe they'll listen to me.
Doggy, I sure hope they do.
Well, I've got it all studied up, what I'm going to say to them.
You have, huh?
Yeah.
Well, be sure you say the right thing, Lum. I still wish, though, that you'd get them to make me her guardian instead of you, Lum.
Well, maybe we can both be guardians.
Huh?
We don't want to have no arguments about it.
No, I don't want to argue, no.
But anyway, we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
The important thing right now is to get her out of there first.
Yeah, sure, you're right about that, Mom. No, we won't argue. Will you send me a postcard while you're gone?
Yeah, might be able to send you one from Hot Springs. Have to lay over there a few hours.
Yeah, send that and show them a picture of the hotel there, and then you can put an X on the room where you're staying at.
Well, I sent you one of them the last time I was in Hot Springs.
Yeah, I know it, but that's my favorite postcard.
Never put no X on it, but I put a R pointing to the window.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to have another one of them. That's an awful pretty picture. Wait a minute. There comes Ellie up out there.
Ellie?
Yeah,
Be sure now. Don't mention where I'm going.
Oh, no, I won't. That'd scare her half to death.
Yeah, she's more like to run away from it.
Oh, sure.
You know that.
Yeah.
Don't let her know nothing about this till I get back.
No.
And if it turns out good, why, it'll be one of the biggest prizes she ever had.
Oh. wait a minute, though, Lum. Whereabouts do you want me to say that you're going?
Yes, I don't know. Oh, tell her I'm just...
I got my last minute. Yeah, come in, Mary. Whereabouts have you been?
Oh, just out of the corner with the Kenya Blevins.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about what if the world would end tomorrow.
Huh?
Goodness sakes, it's things that you young and study up to talk about.
And then we got to wondering how the world got started and everything.
Oh, for goodness sake. Well, now, quit worrying yourself about them things. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Whose suitcase is that?
Huh?
Who's going away?
Oh, why, Lum, he's just making a little trip somewhere.
Where are you going, Uncle Lum?
Oh, just a little trip, like Abner said.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but where to? The home?
Oh, no, of course not. Whatever put a silly idea like that in your head?
That's a ridiculous thing I ever heard of.
Well, where are you going, then?
Why, just fishing trips all, I think.
Yeah, that's it, a fishing trip, yeah. Lum always goes fishing long about this time of year. Oh, he just wouldn't miss it for love and a half the moon. He just loves fishing.
Yeah, just loves.
How long are you going to be gone?
Oh, about a week, I think.
Gee, does it take it that long to catch fish?
It takes Lum that long. See, he ain't very good at it, really.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, Arnold.
Can I go along?
Huh?
I ain't never been fishing. I've heard about it, but I ain't never been fishing. Can I go along?
Well, no, I'm afraid not, sis. You see, well, this is just for grown-up men. There's going to be a lot of other grown-up fellas there, too. You wouldn't enjoy yourself at all.
Oh, no, Lormy, you wouldn't like it at all, sis. I'll tell you what, maybe when Lum's gone, why, me and you just might go fishing ourselves. Yes, sir, just make ourselves a little fishing trip out the mill pond or summer.
Could we really do that?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll talk about it.
Well, yeah, I reckon I better close the satchel and get started.
Yeah, better, Lum.
The mail hack ought to be along directly, and I don't want to miss it. I know that.
Wait a minute before you close it.
How's that?
Why, you packed that awful terrible. Here, let me straighten things out for you.
Oh, no, now, it's all right the way it is. Besides, I gotta hurry.
Well, I'm not going to let you go with the satchel looking that way.
Oh, you won't.
No, I won't.
She's getting kind of bossy. Yeah,
that's awful terrible.
Lord, me.
You must have just throw things in here. Just look, now, if you fold your shirts more like this, why, they won't get so wrinkled.
Well, that suitcase does look sort of like a cat's run through there, don't it?
Of course it does. And then if you fold it... Say, are these the kind of clothes you go fishing in?
Why? What'd you say?
Well, these are your best clothes. Uncle Lum, I ain't going to let you ruin all your good clothes this way.
Well, you see, sis, it don't make no... I'm awful.
These right out of the satchel. And you can put in some overalls. I know you got some because I seen them hanging up back there in the feed room.
Now, wait a minute, sis. I can't fish in overalls.
Oh, no, just, never could. No, no.
Now, you put that stuff right back in the satchel.
No, sir. You need somebody to take care of you. You just... You ain't got hardly no sense about stuff like this.
Yeah, but Mary, them's the clothes I always wear to go fishing in.
Oh, yes, he does. He's right about that, Mary.
Yeah, I can do better with them.
Yeah, he can. And, well, you see, these is awful high-class kind of fish that Lon's going to catch on this trip, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's silly.
Huh?
Fish is fish, and they're all wet and slippery. I know that.
Now, sis, have you ever been fishing?
No.
Well, all right, then.
You see?
You're talking to a couple of fellas that's more likely drug more fish out of the river than there are two humans that ever live. So now you better just take our word that they're high-class fish. Ain't that right, Lon?
Why, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right, Ellie Mary.
Yes, sir. I tell you, sis, you know, there's some fish you just can't catch with old clothes on. They just won't have nothing to do with you at all.
Pooh, I don't believe that.
Well, it's the truth. Yes, sir. See them fish, they swim around there, and they see you sitting there in a boat, and they sort of look you over, you know. They can tell right away if you're high class enough for them to be caught by or not. They sort of swim up beside of you and just look you over, and then they pass the word around to the other fish, you know. They say, well, there's a nice-looking fella there. He's got on nice clothes. And they're smart. You can't fool them, can you, Lon?
No, here, sis. Give me the satchel, because I better get outside before I miss the mail hack.
Well, all right. Oh, wait a minute, though. Ain't you forgetting something?
What do you mean?
Well, the most important part. You ain't got nothing here to catch the fish with.
Uh-oh.
I know you're supposed to have poles and string and hooks and worms.
Oh,
and stuff.
Yeah, well,
Well, you don't use none of that stuff to catch these high-class fish with, Ellie. See, they won't fall for nothing like that.
No, that's right. I won't need none of that stuff.
Oh, no, they're too smart for any of them old-timey fish poles and stuff like that.
Oh, well, how does he catch them, then?
Why, he just, huh?
How does he catch the fish?
Oh, how does he catch them? Oh, well, oh, that's easy. He just, Douglas, how do you catch them, Lon?
Well, it's sort of hard to explain, sort of complicated.
Yes, it is.
You wouldn't understand it, honey.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Now, how do you do it? Do you do it with a knife?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. With a knife. Yep, yep.
Oh, but you couldn't do that. The fish would swim away too fast.
Well, you see, you have to fool them natural. See, what you do is you take your knife and... Then you act like you're doing something else with it, you know, or something that ain't got nothing to do with fishing, like peeling potatoes, for instance.
Peeling potatoes?
Yeah, that's the best. See, you sit there peeling potatoes, and, well, pretty soon a fish gets too rusty, and they swim up real close to the boat, and, well, they just gets you interested in watching you, that, well, you just reach right out and grab them. Then you skin them with a knife. That's all there are to it. Yeah.
Is that really true, Uncle Lum?
Well, there's lots of different ways of doing it, of course.
Yeah, that's the best way, though. That's the best way. I saw a fella sit there and peel a whole sack of potatoes just trying to catch a few fish.
Mm-hmm. Well, gee, you better take a lot of potatoes along then, Uncle Lum.
Well, no,
yes,
sis,
yes, you better. You can take one of them big sacks full right there.
That way, Lum, there's a mail hack right out there. You better get going. He won't wait, you know.
I don't want to miss that.
Well, now, here, you take this sack of potatoes.
Oh, but, Ellie, I tell you, I want
you want to catch fish, don't you?
Well, yeah, but...
All right, then, you take along.
All right.
Here, Lum, I'll help you hoist it up on your back. Come on.
Don't blame it
all. Get a hold. Come on, here we go.
That's heavy.
I know it is. Get it up there. Now, you got it all right, Lum?
Yeah, I reckon so. Well, so long, Abner, Mary.
Yeah, so long, Uncle Lum. Have a good time.
Yeah, catch a lot of fish.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry. Be good, Mary.
I will. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So long. Doggy, he sure looks funny with that sack of potatoes on his back, don't he?
Say, Abner.
Hey, what is it, sis?
Will you tell me something?
Why, sure.
Now that we got him loaded up with that sack of potatoes, whereabouts is Uncle Lum really going?
From August 4th and 5th, 1943, two outings with Lum and Abner and Ellie, also known as Mary. We'll hear again from them next week, too. Yet to come tonight, right in fact after this, is Escape, as old-time radio drama continues on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.